The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
You know Chapel Roan's Good Luck Babe song? We were together when that song dropped. So I started interacting with videos that had it. It's about Chapel Roan. She's a lesbian talking about a girl that she liked in the past, like forcing herself to be with a man. And I was like, damn, I'm kind of Chapel Roan's other girl right now. Like, I am going to be waking up in the middle of the night, you know, nothing more than a wife.
Sometimes music is powerful enough to truly influence you and maybe even catapult you into coming out of the closet. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy, and this week our guest says they dumped their male fiance because they were ready to come out as a lesbian. And if you're wondering where we get these breakup stories from, I take submissions from a form in the episode description, so feel free to submit anything you've seen on social media, your own breakup story, something you've seen from a friend, or even if you want me to like slide into someone's DMs and be like, hey, why did you delete all of your engagement post? Like, what's going on there? Again, you can check out that submission form in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an interview from someone who went viral on TikTok after describing the worst week of their life, including breaking up with their fiance because they were coming out. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out Family Justice Center by CASA in St. Petersburg, Florida. Community Action Stops Abuse is the official certified domestic violence center in Pinellas County, Florida. So for more details on their organization, check out the episode description. Okay, so into this week's submission. So this week's submission comes from TikTok, and it all comes from a video that I came across where somebody has a caption right over their face as they're about to get into a story, and the caption says, POV, you're me, experiencing the worst week of my life a few weeks ago. And here's what the video says.
Good morning! Today is the day that you have to break the news to your long-term fiance that you think that you're a lesbian and cannot build this life with him because, although you love him, it is only platonically. And after a couple days of arguing, going back and forth, he ends up strangling you in the back of his car. So you cut contact, you lose his number, you don't even return his things, and you move on with your life. And as part of that healing process, you decide, I'm gonna take a drive to my grandma's house, I'm just gonna go see the world because I really need a breath of fresh air right now. And on the way to your grandma's house, you hit a deer going 60 miles an hour and it tears the front off your bumper, and you are stranded in the middle of the night in rural Pennsylvania. Your grandparents end up being able to find you, getting your car back to their house, and they get it patched up. So you keep driving, and on the way back, you hit a construction truck going 80 miles an hour on I-80, and your car tumbles, and you have to get firemen, like ambulances, all that stuff in to use the jaws of life to cut you out of the car that you've been sitting in for 30 minutes. They put you in a stretcher and they land a helicopter on Interstate 80. But before getting you in the helicopter, they find your phone in your car so you can call your loved ones because they don't think that you're gonna survive.
So needless to say, there's a lot to unpack there. So let's get all the details when we break down this week's breakup.
I met him on Tinder when I was 18, like pretty soon after I turned 18. My way of going through Tinder was extremely unserious, right? Like, I would choose like one minuscule detail I thought was a good thing I should look for and kind of fixate on that because that's just how my brain thought that attraction was supposed to work. And for him, he had a very cool car. And I was like, I don't really care about the guy, but I kind of want to see his car. So I messaged him on Tinder and I said, hey, I want to see your car. When can I do that? And he's like, what, for real? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, next week at this location midway between us? And I was like, yeah, sure. I just want to see the car. We ended up meeting up at the coffee shop. So we met about halfway. And I was like, dang, your car's really cool. But he's like, oh, want to go get a coffee? And I was like, okay, sure. And he didn't end up getting any coffee. I was like, why aren't you getting any coffee? He's like, I don't want any. And I was like, okay, you're making me feel kind of weird, but have the coffee. And then he took me for a ride in his very cool car. And I thought it was very exciting. And we were just friends for like a year at that point. And then he asked me out. And I was like, I kind of want to be his friend, but I don't think he's going to be my friend. Say no. So I'll make it work. I'll see if it'll work. So that's kind of how we got together. But at the time, I think I was a little more convinced that this was a normal way to feel about somebody that you're getting with. Like a lot of people in my comment section, I made a video about this, assumed that it was malicious intent that I got with him, despite not knowing that I was not attracted. But it's like your brain kind of warps things when you're raised in a not super LGBT friendly environment to think that this is the way you're supposed to feel attraction. Because I just never thought about the way that I felt towards women at all. So, like, to me, this is exactly how it was supposed to go. And I was being completely genuine. But that is how we got together.
Okay, cool. Bring me into that world a little bit and explain more about how you understood attraction. So the way you've just described it to me is you would hyperfixate on something and really feel like, oh, if I'm interested in a thing about them. So for example, his car, that must mean I'm romantically interested in him.
Yeah, it feels kind of silly when I say it like that, but that is just how my brain kind of processed it. Like I had a checklist, physical checklist that I wrote out of things that I thought were desirable traits. And they were all either things that are mostly found in women or like completely devoid from the personality of that person at all. In retrospect, at the time, I thought this was completely normal. But I'd be like, okay, I like guys with long hair. I like guys with like a more like slim, curvy frame, like things like that. And if a guy hit like a literal statistical percentage of that checklist, I was like, okay, I think I'm attracted to them. Like, and he did hit a statistical percentage of that list. And I'm autistic. I don't know if that's a good context. So like, I thought that I was experiencing things normal, but I didn't really dig into thinking about why, because I had a lot of internalized homophobia towards myself. So I was just like, I just really want to be friends with girls. That's why I feel all these happy, joyful, loving feelings when I get close to a woman, is because I just want to be their friend. This is how romantic attraction feels. It feels devoid and like nothing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's interesting how you felt like if you had any kind of emotional response, it must be a friendship thing. Whereas I find it interesting that you almost feel like romantic attraction should be something that's less intense, where I feel like sometimes people think it's the opposite. Like they'll confuse like a toxic relationship for passion. So I think that's really interesting in terms of how you're raised or how you view romantic and friendship relationships.
Yeah, I think that romantic and platonic really do tie into each other quite deeply because it's even in like a romantic relationship, you are supposed to like love. I mean, obviously, I'm not a good gauge of what a normal relationship is supposed to look like, but from what I understand, it's like you want to be in a relationship where you love your partner platonically and you love them romantically as well. Like you just love that person. But I would get to the point where I loved them platonically, and I assumed that was just romantic when that piece wasn't really there. And yeah, it wasn't a great thing. It took me a very long time to figure out the difference, but as soon as I figured it out and then took another while to come to terms with it, I was like, okay, this makes sense. You
Yeah.
know?
So we've established how you met and got together with your ex-fiance. Tell me how long you were together with your ex-fiance, and at what point did you start to question whether or not you should be with them?
not great, but we were not together for a super long time, especially before getting engaged. He did not have the world's greatest home life, and we wanted to move out. The area we lived in didn't really have rental places, and we weren't, he did not want to live in the city. We kind of compromised on living in a suburban area, but the areas that we were near where we had like my family support did not have like rental facilities. Like we had to buy something. And we were in a financial spot where it kind of made sense to gear towards that.
So in my head, I'm like, I want to get married not only to get this over with, but to kind of make sure that we are both kind of covered if we buy a property and something happens. So it was multifaceted, but I did really, really care about him at this point in time. But it was not, I don't think, in the way that he felt about me. So we were together for about a year in total, but we got engaged like 3 months in. So the majority of the time we were engaged. We were not even in like Utah or Virginia or anything like that. We were in like Illinois, where that's like super uncommon.
I was about to say, I'm like, it's kind of giving Provo, Utah right now.
If I was in Utah, it would be very societally acceptable. In Illinois, it is definitely not. So I did get a lot of questions and concerns about that. But like at my head at this point, it was completely normal, but we didn't really do anything the way that it was supposed to be done, like engagement style. Like we literally just went to like Meijer and we picked up some rings and we're like, okay.
Now we're engaged.
It was like, I posted a photo on Instagram. He posted one on Instagram and I think he put the song as like some meme song or something like that. It was like a trippy red song. And I was like, yeah, this is exactly how adults do it. I'm an adult.
But it started to go downhill
because we were spending about a bajillion percent of our time together, right? There was like no possible way we could spend more time together. And it was kind of messing with the way that we interacted with each other because our lives were not super compatible for like day-to-day living, right? I have hypersomnia. He slept 5 hours a night, right? So I would sleep 12 hours more than him on any given day. And he got really bored. Like he wanted to hang out more. He wanted to do more things. Or we'd go on road trips and I'd have to work on schoolwork and I'd just go to like a coffee shop and I'd do it. But he would want to spend more time with me, which is completely valid. I don't think that he is necessarily the villain in this whole story. But it was just we didn't really have compatible. Like we had not fleshed out a relationship enough to fully understand who we were before making such a big commitment. You know, like we were just kind of pushing through every single incompatibility. And it just didn't really work. So we were unhappy with each other, I think, a fair percentage of the time. But it got pretty bad. And this is so silly, but you know Chapel Roan's Good Luck Babe song?
Yes, I am a big fan of that song.
So we were together when that song dropped. And I was like, wow, this is a catchy tune. So I started interacting with videos that had it. And then I got more videos about it. And I'm sure if anyone who's listening is not familiar with the song, it's about Chapel Roan. She's a lesbian talking about a girl that she liked in the past, like forcing herself to be with a man. And I was like, damn, I'm kind of Chapel Roan's other girl right now. Like I'm going to be waking up in the middle of the night, you know, nothing more than a wife.
Wait, are you about to tell me that Chapel Roan brought you out of the closet?
Yes.
Stop. Okay, so you're interacting with all these videos on TikTok and are you seeing all these women in the LGBTQ community and thinking like, wait a second, why am I fantasizing about them romantically?
Yes. My fiance? It was so bad. As I was interacting more with the video, a lot of people were talking about their experiences relating to the song. They're like, oh my God, I was like married to a man and this is how I felt. And I'm like, oh my God, no way. This play about us? Like, what's going on? And it was just like, I think it took me like a month to kind of get it through my head because I was actually out as a lesbian when I was like 13 to about 16. But then I moved to a school in Florida that was not very LGBT accepting. So I dated a man to rid myself of that label so that other people would perceive me better. And I just never stopped. So I was like, I have like interacted with women in a romantic sense before. And I have also been out as a lesbian before. Like maybe I was right.
Maybe I was right about myself all along.
It's like 13-year-old me, low-key kind of understood. Maybe I need to shed this internalized homophobia I got from living in deep South Florida. That was very homophobic for That's 2 years.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Was there a particular video that made you think like, okay, I think I actually need to come back out as a lesbian? Or was it kind of a compound effect of sort of getting into this part of the algorithm?
I think it was a compound effect because I was like so avoidant of anything lesbian, right? My internet presence, I think if anyone scrolls through my repost past like 2 years ago, you will see like I really made every justification in my mind why I could not be a lesbian. And it really made me realize that I was being a little silly. Like, my favorite thing that I convinced myself was normal is that I said I was so anti-pornography for like 5 years. Everyone knew that I was so anti-pornography. Reason, because I didn't find men attractive and I didn't want to do it to women. I would have to admit to myself that I like girls. So I just put the whole thing off. I was like, no, it's all just wrong. I cannot admit to myself that I do not find men attractive. For like 5 years, that was my strongest stance, is that I was so conservative towards pornography. And like, just really things about that. Or like, I said that I was out as bisexual, but I said I would never date a woman because if I dated a woman, I'd never want to date a man again. And like, that's just not normal.
But interesting. So you came out when you were younger, went back in the closet, and then was there a moment for you where you made the decision that you didn't want to be bi or a lesbian? Like, was there something that happened that really made you go like, oh no, I have to push back against this?
It was like when I moved to my high school in Florida, I would hear the way that the people I wanted to be friends with, because it was a very small boarding school, and like a lot of the girls were out as bi, but they weren't like dating girls or anything like that. So like, people didn't really view them as bi. They viewed them as straight with extra steps, you know? But being a lesbian is very out there thing, because you can't really package it in a way that's like acceptable to homophobic people. So like, people were very nasty about it. And they didn't know it was me, but I overheard them speaking about it. I went to the college, I heard all this stuff. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I cannot ostracize myself from my peers. I'm going to be living here for 2 years. I can't ostracize myself from my peers. So I tried dating a man who was relentlessly pursuing me at the time. And I didn't like, I tried to make it work, but I was like, okay, I just got to teach myself how to do this, because it's social suicide if I don't, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for you to just find a way to survive during a time that's already really uncomfortable. I mean, everyone feels weird in their own skin at 15 or 16, but then also to figure out a way for you to feel like you can just fit in for a couple of years at the very least. But I think it's interesting that it kind of stuck with you even after you left high school.
Yeah, I convinced myself that was the way I had to do it. And then when I went back to Illinois, it was just like dating. Like, I kept my dating apps when I turned 18 to both men and women, but there's like no women on dating apps, right? And men are so like, they'll fuck anything that has a heartbeat, right? So I would have more opportunities with men, and I would just keep around the ones that I thought were cool. But once it turned romantic, I didn't really know what to do at that point. So I just kind of continued, and I loved them, but just not in the way that they loved me. I think I just managed to, like, a lot of people who have similar experiences have a lot of religious trauma, but like, I just managed to do it without the religion. Like, I'm like, no, I am gonna convince myself this is wrong for literally no reason.
I did not need God to hate this part of myself. I did this all on my own.
I did this by myself.
Okay, but so let's circle back to okay, so now you're on the TikTok algorithm and you're like, wait a second, I'm seeing all these women. I love them. Where do we go from there?
It kind of, a lot of the videos made me stop. And like, I was never like outwardly homophobic, but I was homophobic to myself. I was like, maybe being gay isn't so wrong. You know, it was part about Chapel Roan being hot as hell because she is beautiful. Love that woman. I was like, damn, you know, if I was gay, I would tap. But then I was like, what? But also being like, okay, being gay is like, being a lesbian is something that can be so beautiful and like amazing. And like, maybe I can explore this part of myself. But it's hard to do that when you're in a committed monogamous relationship with a man and do not cheat. I do not cheat. There's a huge stereotype in the lesbian community that lesbians are cheaters. And I have never subscribed to that. I have never done that. But I did have to talk to him about it, because I was like, if we're going to get married, because I was kind of internalizing our own relationship. Like, even like, me and him did not have sex for like the first 6 months, because like I just could not get my body to want to, you know?
Wow. And
yeah, no, it's like my muscles were so contracted because I just didn't want to. But I didn't think that mentally, but my body knew. But we would have to go roundabout ways of like getting really in depth into like kink and stuff like that, to where it's like, okay, I can fantasize about the moment, not necessarily him. Even though I think for the vast majority of our relationship, he was a very, very good guy and very kind and considerate. But it was just towards the end where, you know, kind of shit hit the fan. But I was also not the best at the end. I think we both tore each other up. So I don't want to like shit on him because I think he was a very good guy for a very vast majority of it. And we did get along really well. It's just I didn't really think about the fact that I didn't feel the same way about him that he felt about me necessarily.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. And I also think when you're not with the right person, I do think it can kind of bring out the worst in you, just whether it's just subconsciously, you know, you're not supposed to be with them. And so, you know, you're more on edge or you say things you don't mean. And it's your body's way, I think, of trying to sabotage the relationship. So you find something that's actually right for you.
Yeah, no, it was very difficult. But when the relationship started to deteriorate, I think the first thing that made it doomed was I did talk with him. I sat down and I talked with him. I'm like, hey, like I know that we're going to get married, but I can't live the rest of my life not knowing if I'm straight, if I'm bi, what's going on. I need that. But I'm not going to cheat on you. Like, that's never a concern because I don't do that. But I don't know exactly what I was trying to ask, but I was just trying to be honest in a way that like 19-year-old me knew how to, of just being like radically honest of like, hey, I'm not exactly sure how I feel. And he was very sheltered in like the environment he grew up in, where he was never exposed to mental health or like gay anything. So like in his head, I was completely straight. I was completely, my mental health was completely fine. Like even towards the end, he maintained the idea that I had no mental illness and was not like bisexual or a lesbian in any way, even though like I am diagnosed with like bipolar disorder. Like I've had some psychotic episodes in the past. I've been institutionalized so many times throughout my life, but he just never, I don't think he ever believed that that was me. So it was really hard when I like started to question my sexuality, and then also my mental health deteriorated around the same time, because he just did not know how to react, because he did not think that I was capable of that, despite me trying to warn him. Which I think if I were to date somebody else, I would make sure that she's more in tune with mental health, because when it started to deteriorate, we kind of tore each other up because he just didn't know how to deal with mental health, which isn't necessarily a flaw of his, but something I should have been more aware of. Because when I told him that I thought, I didn't use the word lesbian, but I said, I need to be sure of my sexuality. I can't live the rest of my life not knowing. Like, he didn't respond very well. And I have bipolar disorder, and I kind of didn't choose a great time, because every couple, like I there's like a couple month period every year where like tend to go manic more often than the others. And this was during those periods. And so we had a bad argument, and it kind of just tipped off like a week or two of clinically diagnosed manic disorder. And you don't really make good decisions when you're manic. So it was not very good at that point.
But you start communicating these feelings to him, and he's not really taking it well and not really understanding the mental health struggles that you're going through. Where do we go from there?
So at that point, I don't remember a lot of it, to be honest. But at that point, we kind of both, like, I think I was not very good to him at this point. But like in a way where I was not being super considerate of his feelings, just because my brain was kind of like, I need to tear everything down right now. I feel very claustrophobic. Everything is not right. And also being exacerbated by being in a bipolar manic episode, which is not an excuse for the behavior, but more like an explanation, because right. A rational person would never tear down their life the way that I did. But at that point, like I was talking to him, I'm like, I think we need a break. I need to figure out what's going on. And he kind of agreed, but wasn't very happy about it. So we kind of maintained contact while I tried to figure out what was going on. But I did meet up with a couple of girls. You know, he knew about it. This was not a cheating situation, but just more of a like we were on a break situation. Yeah. But the thing about women that's kind of crazy is they will not fuck anything that has a heartbeat. A lot of them could tell that I was in an altered mental state, and they wouldn't do anything, because they're like, I want you to make sure that you're comfortable. Because like I had never had a sexual encounter where the person kind of like forced me into it, you know what I'm saying? So like I didn't really know what to do. It was just a situation where they're like, I don't think that you're comfortable. I don't think that you're in a place right now where this is going to be healthy for you. Like, don't feel comfortable with that. And I was like, that's fine. That's okay. But then I didn't really get the answers I wanted, and I kind of tore down my relationship anyway. So then we'd talk again. Like, he was really hurt, which is understandable. I did not go about it in a way that was super cohesive to him doing good mentally. So then, like, we talked about it a little more. We met up. I made like a whole plan, like a little binder full of like me writing like an apology, and like, these are the things I did wrong. Here's what I'm going to do to improve. And we sat down with it. And he spent the whole time shitting on me. He's like, my friends hate you. My family hates you. I'm like, okay, good to know. We were kind of on and off for, it could have been months. It could have been weeks. I don't honestly remember. He very clearly held very deep resentment, which is very fair, very understandable. But at that point, it switched. I think a switch flipped in his brain to just kind of being cruel at a certain point. He was very angry and he wanted to get that anger out, but he romanticized the part of our relationship that was good and kind of wanted to hold it out towards them. But we were both kind of dogpiling on each other for our own feelings. And it was extremely toxic at this point. So we would meet up, we'd argue, like it was not good. And I was working my shift and he texted me with about 10 minutes left in my shift, this whole paragraph about how he hates me and how he can never see me again and that he's going to block my number. And I did not do good with that. We were both not doing good mentally, but I was mostly hurt by him texting me in the middle of a shift that I couldn't get off of, saying like, hey, like we can't be together anymore. And I was like, okay. And I kind of spam texted him, which I was not proud of. And he wouldn't answer, but he would answer with like kind of little things, you know what I'm saying? Like enough to continue the spiral. And he told me later that he enjoyed kind of making me feel that way, which is fair. I put him through a lot, but we really tore each other up. And at that point, like I relapsed back into self-harm. It was a very severe relapse and it was not good, but I didn't get hospitalized or anything. And a couple of days later, I reached out to him and I'm like, I'm sorry for spam texting you, but because I loved him, right? And I didn't know what to do without him because we were so codependent on each other. And I loved him platonically, but I was still trying to figure that out. I was like, I don't need to know if I'm a lesbian. Like, you have been my best friend throughout this last year. Like, I just don't like we've done so much fun stuff together. And it was very difficult, but we ended up meeting up one more time. He saw like I think we met up like two or three more times. The scars, he felt really, really bad about it 'cause he felt like he caused them. Even though I've once again, I did not think we'd meet back up, or I would not have done that because I did not want him to feel directly responsible for what I did to myself. I guess I tried to hold some morality in this, but it
Yeah,
did not end up working out, I guess. But yeah, it kind of just continued. I think we had one more meetup and two more meetups. The one before that, the one after that, he and I were talking in the back of his car, and we were going at it, right? We were like, we can make this work. We can make this work. And we were having sex in the back of his car, and then he started. Can I hope this is not triggering, but I think I mentioned in my video, so I'm sure you're aware of this. But
yeah.
he started choking me, and that's not something I've ever been into, right? Like we explored a lot of kink. That is something I've always been very, very against. And I was like, "Can you stop?" And he's like, "Okay." And then he just kept going until I passed out.
Oh my
And
God.
he just kept having sex with me, and I woke up and I was like, "Hey. Haha, that's crazy. I gotta go home." And we met up one day, the next day, and I said, "That wasn't cool. We can't do this anymore." And he was like, "Yeah, we can't do this anymore." And we argued, but then that was the last time I ever saw him. And then I didn't even return any of his stuff. And because his family life kind of sucked, all of his stuff was at my place. And so like I had like nothing at his place. And I was like, "Do you like I did ask to exchange belongings, but he wanted me to meet up with him." And I'm like, "No, we can meet in the middle." And he's like, "No, I don't want any of my stuff back." So I have so much stuff. And like half his wardrobe, like a computer. I was like, "You don't want your computer back?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay." Because we truly tore each other up over the last period. Like we were really, really bad to each other. But yeah. That's the end of our relationship.
Oh my God, well, I'm horrified for you at the end. I mean, are you okay? Like, did you have to go to therapy for that in terms of him choking you and all that? I mean, that's like horrifying.
So I was still kind of manic at that point, and I wanted to clear my head. So I was like, I want to go see the ocean. And anyone who lives in the suburbs of Chicago knows that the place you go to see the ocean is Lake Michigan, but like on the Michigan side. Because the Wisconsin, I don't remember what's wrong with the Wisconsin part, but I just didn't want to go to Wisconsin because that's where you lived. Chicago, it's really dirty in the city. Indiana, it's not the safest area. So you go to Michigan to go see Lake Michigan. And I was like, this isn't ocean enough. I got to go see the ocean. So then I just got in my car and like routed it to Maine and I just kept driving. That's how I dealt with it. And then I
Wait,
got into.
you went all the way to Maine?
Yeah, in like one night.
Oh my God.
That's bipolar mania though. Like my brain truly convinces, like I've done so much work on my mental health in the past year and a half or so since then, but like your brain really convinces you that these are like rational things to do. And
Did
that's,
it help?
oh my God, seeing the ocean was beautiful. And then, but then I wiped out on the way back.
Oh
I don't think it
God.
was completely worth it. I don't know. Yeah, it was a very, very low point in my life, and I don't think it could get any worse. But I did end up getting institutionalized at some point, and they held on to me for like 3 months. After that, I was like, damn, I cannot do that again.
I'm glad Maine was great though, until it
Oh,
wasn't.
it was so beautiful. It was the ocean was, oh my God. And I went in November, and I went fully clothed in the ocean. Like I was truly not mentally good, but oh, it was beautiful. I just remember the waves and like laying on the beach once you get fully clothed and sopping wet. But it was so beautiful. I love the ocean. I have not seen the ocean all too many times, but every time I go, it's just like it's stunning, especially when nobody's there. You know, like if you're the only one on the beach, which you are if it's the middle of November, it is a magical experience getting to experience the beach all by yourself.
It's so peaceful. And I think there's even studies out there that shows that it induces dopamine or some kind of chemical in your brain that makes you feel really peace and at calm. And that's why it's so comforting to be near it. So it's good to hear that you experience something good by going out there, even if
Yeah.
it was in the middle of a manic episode. But talk to me
That's
about what life looked like for you after that relationship ended. I mean, you mentioned getting institutionalized. Did you finally get to experience a relationship with a woman? Like, talk to me about that.
It took me about half a year after that to get any sort of normalcy back. So I was institutionalized until early January, and then I did basically nothing until like March, April. And then I needed a new start. So I moved to DC, which is impulsive, but like something it's not manic for me. That's just something I kind of, my family is very big on impulsive moves. I'm not sure why, but I was like, I've got to do it myself. So I moved to DC, and it ended up working out so much better than I could have ever imagined. I am still there. I love the trains. I love not driving anymore because I'm really bad at driving. I kind of hit everything on the road. So it's probably best for everybody that I'm not behind the wheel anymore. But it worked out really well. But as like a couple months ago, I got back on the apps and I did have a little bit of an experience with a woman, but she had a lot going on in her life. We didn't continue it because there was a lot of personal stuff for her, and she just wasn't like, we weren't at the level where she was ready to let somebody in, I think. And I had some stuff going on, but like it was more like situational, like a lot of work to do kind of thing. It just wasn't a good time. But it is a completely different feeling, like getting to hold like somebody's hand that you're like actually attracted to. And like she was sitting in my bedroom, like looking out my window, and I was like, dang, like, oh, this I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But
Well, put that into words for me, because to experience that as an adult for the first time must have been overwhelming to feel like, oh, I can finally physically be with someone that I feel drawn to.
yeah, it was so weird because I met up with her for the first time, and we went to like a women in arts museum, and it was so cool to feel like it's like I didn't feel like I was going along with somebody else just to act, right? I felt like I was there because I wanted to, and it was so exciting, right? Like we were looking at the art, but we were also kind of looking at each other. It was a very fun experience. We hung out for like 12 hours, like every single time we hung out, and it was very, very fun. We held hands and stuff. It was like, you know, it's weird experiencing attraction for the first time as a vulgar an adult. Like I was 20 years old. I was like, damn, like this is the first time I've had someone in my bed, and I'm like, dang, I want to rip their clothes off.
This is how you're supposed to feel. Like,
Yeah, every other time I was intimate with someone, I was like, I hope that they can't figure out how to take my bra off so I can just pretend that I can't take it off. But like her, I'm like, I'm gonna rip this thing off, you know? It's a very weird experience. It was like, okay, it cemented that I had made the right choice. Like not necessarily the way that I did things, but it was like, yeah, no, I'm certainly not attracted to men. I have never felt this way about a man before.
yeah, well, it was a tough road getting here, but it looks like you're on the path to eventually getting to a good place and finding someone that you actually want to have sex with. What do you hope your first lady-on-lady relationship is like? Like, if you could dream up your ideal partner? What do you hope for that relationship?
I scroll on the dating apps and I'm like, damn, all you guys are so hot. Like, I don't think I necessarily have like a type in that sense, but as far as like the dynamic of the relationship, like I love public transportation. It's like my favorite thing ever. I love exploring new transit systems. And that is unbelievably common for women. I thought it was just like, hey, autistic man thing. 'Cause I'm an autistic woman. I thought it was just an autistic man thing, but turns out there's a lot of autistic lesbians who also love the trains. So fantastic. I hope to find somebody that has similar hobbies to me. I'm very open. I'm just very excited to learn more and experience dating women because it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I'm getting on lots of trains.
Oh my gosh, the apartment I moved to, it's like a mile from a lesbian bar. I'm like, yes,
Oh,
so
that's the
good.
best. It's so close. It's like a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah, it's like a 15-minute walk to the lesbian bar. And I was like, there's only 30 in the US and I managed to move right there. It's so crazy. And like kind of I've worked so hard in the last year to kind of deprogram myself away from like the internalized homophobia, right? But also like this is not as commonly talked about, but in my experience, a lot of like internalized misogyny as well as, you know, like trying to convince yourself you don't like women. But it has been so worth it because it's like, damn, this is so cool. Like there's so many cool people out there. I'm not well versed enough in dating women to be like, yeah, this is exactly what I want. But I'm very excited to have those experiences that shape me and make me figure out exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Yeah.
excited for you to find that, whatever that is. And I'm sure there's some other people listening that are maybe forcing themselves into a relationship that doesn't feel right for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they're dating someone of a gender they're not really that attracted to, but think they should be. So what advice would you give for somebody who was in your position, who was in the position that you were in those relationships where you felt like you were acting like you were in love with them rather than actually feeling it genuinely?
I think that if there's anything that you find yourself purposefully closing yourself off to, whether that's like, I don't know, for some of my friends, like they wouldn't, they there were some shows they didn't like, and it was because there was like really healthy relationships in them, or like for me, it's like lesbian material or gay material, anything like that. If there's something that you find yourself actively avoiding and you cannot figure out why, do some digging. Do some digging. Because if you get uncomfortable every time gay things are mentioned, but you yourself are not like homophobic, like there might be something to consider. And especially before like getting married or any long-term commitment. It's fair not only to you, but to your partner to make sure that everybody has done all the self-exploring and self-digging that they need to do. Because, like, I tore my life up and also my ex's life up. I probably would not have had to do that if I was honest with myself from the age of 13 when I first put a word to it. But I don't know. There's a lot of shame that comes with it as well, of like discovering sexuality. And I think a lot of what I did was like being stuck in the sunk cost theorem of like I'm already this far. But being stuck in a relationship that is not good for both of you is not healthy. You should 100% be where you want to be. And it's good to make sure to not leave any stones unturned if you are feeling uncomfortable in your current relationship, if that makes sense. I don't think I worded that very well,
No,
but
I think anyone who needs to hear that is going to understand exactly what you're saying.
yeah. For anyone in my shoes specifically, lesbianism is great. Highly 10 out of 10 recommend. It is beautiful. It's awesome.
Perfect. Thursday, we'll have another breakdown bonus episode for you where we will be talking about what it's like to come out later in life and how that really impacts your romantic relationships moving forward. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.